family at his class reunion. And he asked Dane Baboni, chaplain of the University of Washington Medical Center, former instructor of mine at Bible College, and might I say he gave me a very hard time, to come and speak again. And as always, it's wonderful to have Dane come out. He's been a good friend and a good family member for many, many years. So, Dane, we're all yours.
Man, that was the best introduction I've ever had from Tom. Usually he hammers the heck out of me. He can get away with it because he's my cousin, you know, and so usually he really does me in. Now I can't find my notes. Well, how about that? Hon, what did I do? No, they're different. Boy, I knew you guys were going to get a real message here, but let's see now. What did I do? Well, I'll tell you what happened. I was going to do... There they are. Hallelujah. Okay. Man... I was in big trouble. Oh, trust me, I can give you something off the cuff. Actually, this is kind of off the cuff. I in one sense I apologize, but in another sense I don't. Last time I was here, I did something called Thoughts from Matthew 12. And so this time I was all prepared to do Thoughts from Matthew 13. And I thought, well, how appropriate. You guys have been in Matthew for a year, and I know Sean's getting down the line on Matthew, and I thought, well, I can go back and do Matthew. And you can ask Linda. I'm sitting there, and I'd been kind of going through my notes and reviewing and getting ready for Matthew 13. And I'm sitting there yesterday in the living room in my chair, and honestly, God just said, no, this is not what you're going to do. Just like that. And I said, no, this is not what I'm going to do. Okay, now what am I going to do? Well, the interesting thing was that I had gone to a service at a friend of ours. He's got a church there in Burien. And... he had an evangelist that was coming in and was going to do a service on Friday night and then was going to do a men's retreat over the weekend for this church. And so I went there, and this guy prophesied over me and gave me a word, and it was right on. You know, I love it when God speaks through a brother and prophetically speaks to you. And it's right on. And what I don't want to give you the gist of it, but part of it was God will speak to your ear and you will understand what he's to say. Now, the reason it's so significant, Linda and I had been a week prior to that, I had gone to a meeting at the hospital, and let's just say that things are changing at my hospital. Now, the interesting, I say this interestingly for you guys, is because just about a month or two ago, you as a church began to support me as a missionary at the hospital, financially, which was, praise the Lord for me. And so I know I'm coming here for today, and I'm going to speak, and I want to really do a good job. You guys are now supporting me in the ministry of the chaplain, and it turns out I may or may not be a chaplain there in a month. And so I may have to tell Sean, I'm not going to be a chaplain. I don't know yet. Linda and I actually was fasting last week, and we were in prayer, And I went to this, and the guy spoke directly to me and basically said, as long as your ear is open, God will speak to you and you'll know exactly what you're to do. And essentially, that's the message I have for you. Now, I always say this, and, you know, some people say, well, you know, you're not really being truthful when you say this. But whenever I preach, I'm preaching more to myself than I am to you. Almost without exception. Because I can't really communicate the gospel. I can't communicate the word unless God's speaking to me and I have some context in which to give you the word from my own life, my own experience. And so the interesting thing was now, so I'm talking to God, and God says, no, you're not going to preach on Matthew 13. I said, okay, what am I going to preach on? He says, go to your little booklet where all your old sermons are. I opened it up, and the first one on top was, he that hath an ear, let him hear. What the Lord says. Now, I've taken that, but the Lord has changed it. It's not like I've given this one before. Now, some of you, it's really funny. We were in prayer at the just before this we started here today, and I mentioned that I was going to talk about the bondservant and he that hath an ear, etc. And immediately, you know, I realized you guys have heard this message before, most of you. Maybe not all of you, but some of you are going to hear part of this. But trust me, if you've heard it before, you need to hear it again, and if you haven't heard it before, you need it now. Okay? I know I need it. I got a kick out of it. When I was in college and seminary, there's this old philosophical question. Most of you have probably heard this before. If a tree falls in the woods and there's nobody there to hear it, right? Heard this one before? If a tree falls in the woods and there's nobody to hear it, was there any sound? Now, when I was back in college, I was a science major. I didn't give my background this time. There's a tape. If you guys want to get my tape from last time, pay your buck or $2 and listen to my old message. They'll run it for you. I did more of an introduction to myself. I graduated from Ingram High School in Seattle, University of Washington in oceanography. Went into the Navy. I was a Navy pilot. Almost got killed. God said, go to seminary. A couple of seminaries. 9 years with the Koreans. Now I'm at the hospital. Boy, did I just put that in a nutshell. But I came from a science background before I got saved. And so I'm big into why Darwinism is so bad and evolution. Man, I was an oceanographer. Talk about the elite. We studied the medium from which all life sprang. Man, were we elitist snobs. You know, we studied the origins. You know how hard it was to come out of that when I became saved? It took God a year to finally show me, and I had to unlearn all that I had learned. More than a year, actually. But as I used to say, well, of course there was sound. Sound is just a physical thing. There were vibrations in the air. Of course there was sound. And of course, the philosopher would say, well, how can there be sound? That's just physical things. You can't, you know, to be sound, you have to be there to hear it. Somebody has to hear it. You know? And if there's nobody there, then obviously there's no sound. The problem was, they're not seeing it from God's viewpoint. Guess what? God's always there to hear it. He created it. It's the wrong question. The question is, if the tree fell, what does it mean? If God puts me there to hear the tree fall, what does it mean? God screams meaning from the creation. He screams himself. Mankind won't listen to it. Mankind refuses to admit that God could exist when there's no other answer. They reject him. So if God's screaming all the time, why can't we hear him? You and I have five senses. Now, those of you who've been around me very long, Tom's been around me the longest of all, except for my good wife over here, Linda. I'm big into biblical numbers. Can you tell me how many senses we have? Five, okay. I thought I'd give you a clue. Those of you who are on the tape, I was holding up five fingers that whole time. Okay, what are they? Taste, touch, smell, sight, and hearing, right? Are you aware that five is a bad number? It's a satanic number in a lot of ways. Now, in relationship to God, it's a good thing. But five is the number of death. Now, from God's perspective, it's the number of grace, because by grace you were saved, not of yourself. It was the gift of God. How did God give us grace? He reversed death. So from God's perspective, five is a good number. But from the world's perspective, five is a really bad number. And guess what? We've got five senses. Now, how many of you have seen that? Actually, I think it's a wonderful movie. It's called The Sixth Sense, M. Night Shyamalan. Now, it's really a creepy movie. It's really a creepy movie. However, I do suggest that you see it. It's an interesting movie. And the premise is that this kid sees dead people. And it's called The Sixth Sense. He's able to go beyond the five senses and to see something that other people can't see. If you're into any kind of paranormal, if you've heard of anything, I shouldn't say if you're into it, if you understand and know what the world is seeking, the world seeks to go beyond the five senses and to get to the other side. And many times it's called the sixth sense. In Hindu religions and stuff, they talk about the third eye and the ability to see to the other side and to sense this, have this sense of the spirit realm. Guess what? When Adam died, what happened to Adam? He died spiritually. In a real sense, Adam, born on the sixth day, the number of man being the number six, right? He was cut off from God, and I'm convinced the sixth sense was cut off. All mankind's trying to do is get it back. They're trying to get back the sixth sense. What's the sixth sense? Communion with God. Now, they're trying to do it without God. If you've met Jesus, You've got it. You're back. You're back in the game. God reversed death for you, death being spiritual death, being cut off from God, not being in relation with Him anymore. And God put you back. He renewed you, gave you a new life, opened your spirit up so that you could re-sense God, so that you could talk to God and He could talk back to you. Boy, have I gone a different way here. I haven't even looked at my notes yet. I told Linda I was going to start in Romans 1:1, and I haven't even gotten there yet. Romans 1:1. Because we are, I want to talk about this idea of the bondservant in relationship to the ear. And what I'm trying to talk to you about here is hearing God. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. You know, it's really easy here. We're starting with the number one book of Paul. Most commentators say it's the greatest book Paul has written. Well, I don't necessarily think it's the greatest. It's just, you know, aren't all Paul's books inspired of the Spirit of God? It's just the basic book. It talks more about salvation and justification, and the Holy Spirit chose to put it first of all of Paul's epistles. And obviously it's a great one, and we should all study it just like we study Corinthians and Galatians and all the rest. But the first book that the Holy Spirit chose to list in our Bible that Paul wrote, Paul, a bondservant of Christ. Some would call Paul the greatest of the apostles. I don't know, maybe the Catholic Church might argue for Peter. I don't know that there's a greater or lesser one. Paul certainly was called out differently than most of the others. Started out as a persecutor of the church, and God had to knock him off his donkey and get him and knock him up the side of the head and say, Paul, you know, it's time you did what you're supposed to do. But he starts out a bondservant. Now, most of you have heard this before. All that word there is in the Greek is doulos. Now, I get a kick out of Tom. Tom used to tell me that one of these days when he bought a boat, he was going to name his boat doulos. Did you? Okay, see? I knew he was going to one of these days if he hadn't already. And, you know, what a great title, because most people that own boats are slaves to their boat. Tom's no exception. That's why I won't buy a boat. And Katie looks there with that look, oh, yeah, slave to that boat. Of course, we're supposed to be a bondservant of Christ Jesus. Now, the bondservant in the Old Covenant, let's go back to, and if, I'll just read it. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. It's Exodus 21, and I'll just read it quickly. Now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years, but on the seventh he shall go out as a free man without payment. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he's the husband of a wife, then the wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man, then the master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door of the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. A lot of you have heard that before. This is the bondservant. It's different than a slave, per se, in the sense that this bondservant begins as a slave and then has a choice. Isn't it interesting that he can only be a slave for 6 years? And then, in the seventh year, he has to be given a choice. Now remember, isn't the number six the number of man? Man sold himself into slavery. Adam sinned and gave himself into slavery. He's a slave to his sin, slave to Satan, slave to the world, slave to his flesh. But on the seventh year, that's the Sabbath year, by the way, he has a choice. And he can go out freely if he wants. You're free to go. You're free to do your own thing. Or you're free to give yourself over permanently as a bond slave. Permanent. Once you do this, you can never go back. See, you're a regular kind of slave. You can go free. You can go do your own thing. Hallelujah. Out the door. If you don't like your wife and kids, leave them behind. The other guy's got to take care of them. I'm on my own. This is a totally different thing. This is volitional. Once you do this, though, guess what? You can't go back. And how is it accomplished? It's accomplished. Interestingly, it says here that the master takes the slave to God. Words there are just, if you're reading them like you're supposed to, God screams out here. It's not the master doing it. It's the master taking the slave to God. By taking him to the doorpost and putting an awl through his ear. He puts his ear against the wood of the doorpost and pierces the ear. Blood is shed on the doorpost. Sound familiar? Takes us back to what? Takes us back to Passover. Where were the children? They were in slavery in Egypt. And God was going to pass over, the death angel was going to pass over, and only those homes which had the blood of the lamb on the doorposts were preserved. In all other cases, the firstborn in Egypt would die. If you look at a doorpost, first of all, it's wood. And second of all, if you put the blood on the cross piece and on the two side pieces, assuming that the blood drips off the top, it forms a cross of blood. So, in a symbolic sense, you're putting your ear to the cross and shedding your own blood. This in the New Testament is what's happening with Paul. Once Paul gives his life to Christ, he freely takes on the position of bondservant. I want to read you something in Isaiah 55. Incline your ear, this is verse 3, 55:3. Incline your ear and come to me, Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. Once you have your ear pierced by God, you no longer belong to yourself. How many of you really realize that? You know, in our society, we talk so much about freedom. You know, the Old Testament, the Bible, doesn't talk about freedom in the same way we do. Now, I love this country and I love the freedom that we have. But ultimately, it's a different kind of freedom than God presents. God says we're free from sin so that we can do the will of God. In our society, thank God, we're free to do the will of God. We're not supposed to do our own thing anymore. This society says you're free to do whatever you want, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. A lot of people don't even believe that. But, you know, basically, what's our society say? As long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, I can do my own thing. Well, I'm sorry, that's not what God says. You got to open your ear for this. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Right? What's God say? God never says you can do your own thing as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. God says you're only supposed to do. Well, let me ask you, what did Jesus say he did? Did Jesus just do his own thing? Jesus say, I speak nothing that I don't hear the Father speak. I do nothing unless I see the Father do it. Was he free? I think so. He was free not to sin. He was free to do the will of the Father. Guess what? So are you. Are you really a bond slave of Almighty God? When's the last time you actually sat down and says, Lord, I don't care what it is, I'll do it. Now, I really want to do this. And, you know, and don't most of us, you know, just kind of go do our own thing and then hope it's okay with God? You know, as long as it's not really bad. And then maybe in the big things, well, you know, we'll get all of a sudden, wow, you know, the big things are coming up. Hey, maybe I better go pray and fast. You know, that's what I just did. I mean, you know, we all do it, right? I'm convinced Paul, every day of his life, sat down and said, okay, God, what is it you want me to do today? Maybe in my flesh I just want to rest. But God says, today, I want you to do this. Do you know that in this, God says he's made an everlasting covenant, and you're not your own person anymore. You belong to him. But you know, that same promise says that if you obey him, he has to take care of you. Why? You know, so many people say, well, where's God? You know, and I just don't see God in this and all that kind of thing. Well, guess why? Most of the time we're doing our own thing. And as long as we do our own thing, there's no covenant. The covenant is, if you do my will, then I'll take care of you. And trust me, it's a binding covenant. If you're in the will of God, He is taking care of you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's providing for you. He's doing everything He promised. If He doesn't do it, guess what? He lied. And that's not going to happen. You know, you kind of, in a sense, if you open your ear to hear the voice of God, like you're supposed to, and He speaks to you and you do it, He's got no choice but to support you. That sounds, you know, I don't want to, it's not putting God on the spot here. It's just a promise. Didn't He promise that? And I hold on to that every day. Lord, I just want to do your will. Every time I walk into a hospital room, Lord, I just pray that this person, you know, that whatever I do is in your will here. If you're going to heal them, I'll pray for them. Whatever it is, you know, we'll just do it here. If I'm in transition, I don't know what you got for me, but I'm ready. It's tough. Sometimes. It's tough. Now, the ear is the most important sense in the gospel. You close your, I mean, you and I think about sight. You know, we like to see, right? If probably most of us, if we had to give up one sense, the one we would probably give up last would be our sight. And yet they're all important, but from a gospel's perspective, actually hearing is the one that God uses more than any. He says in Romans 10:4, this should be all familiar to you. For Christ is the end of the, let's see. Did I do that right? 14. I always do that wrong. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good news. That's why preachers and teachers are so important to the body of Christ. Now, if I'm preaching truth today, hopefully your ears have been pierced and you're hearing truth. And if you're not in truth, this truth is going to set you free. I'm going to give you some tidbit today that you can take out of here to make your life better as a Christian. I say that as if it's really easy. The Christian life is really easy, but at the same time, it's really hard. Why is it really hard? Because we have to fight against the flesh and the devil. Sometimes it's easier just to go with the flow. Sometimes it's easier not to bother to listen to the Word of God. You know? Sometimes it's just easier to sit down and watch the television. I plead guilty. Linda will throw her hand up and say, amen to that. I don't even want to look at her because I know it. And, you know, getting ready for this, I sat in the same chair I watched the television in. I turned the television off and I'm sitting there going, wow. The stuff I'm getting for this is a whole lot better than the television. I'm getting excited. Very seldom does the TV excite me much. It just kind of deadens me. You know? I'm convinced that, in fact, you know, I talked about the five senses. Once you're born again, you get the sixth sense. Right? I don't know. I just have this strange inkling that by the time we get to heaven, there's going to be a seventh or an eighth. You know, God's going to complete us. I don't know what that's going to be. But, you know, I just know God. And now, you've got to be willing to open your ear. You've got to be willing to open your ear. Now, those of you who've come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Jesus is your Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. You've heard people say, well, Jesus is your Savior. Have you made Jesus your Lord yet? Right? I don't know. Some people go that way. I guess my take on that is, hallelujah, you got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. You went home, and for 10 years you did nothing, and all of a sudden God said, now I want to work with you. What do you do next? You already went to the cross. You looked up, and you saw Jesus hanging there, and you saw him shed his blood. Now what do you got to do? The next thing is, you got to go up to that cross, and you got to put your ear to the cross. And you got to allow God to put the all through there and open your ear up. You've got to be willing to listen to God, and once he speaks to you, you've got to be willing to do what he says. That's a real disciple. I can point to a lot of people who got saved. Praise God, I'll see you in heaven. You know? So what? I know a lot of people got saved. Have you taken God to the next level? Have you opened your ear up to hear from him? You know, I'm sitting in my chair, and honestly, it was so loud. You know, it wasn't audible, but it was so loud, it took me by surprise. When I'm sitting there studying Matthew 13, and all of a sudden it was just like, no, Dane, this isn't it. And I almost jumped. And I said, wow, I guess this isn't it. What do you want? You know, and those are exciting times. But unless you're willing to hear the voice of God, you'll never get that experience. When was the last time? I hope it was not long ago. When was the last time you put your ear to the cross? When you've done that and you begin to get that sense, then Jesus becomes your Lord and your master. So you can only be a bondservant to a master. The master is the one that brings you to God. Remember that? I just gave you that back in Exodus 21. The master brings you to God. Jesus is the master. And he brings you to who? The Father. But unless you're willing to hear and put your ear there, then you're not really a bondservant. You haven't made that step yet. You might be saved. Hallelujah. When Jesus left, just before he left, he didn't say to the disciples, go and get a lot of people saved. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Are you a disciple? Probably, you're probably not where you should be unless Every day, you get up in the morning and you say, okay, Lord, what have you gotten for me today? I expect to hear from you. I expect to hear from you. Now, an interesting thing was, when we were praying this morning, I'm going to end with this. When we were praying this morning, the Lord gave me, to kind of sum this up, a verse. And when we were praying, I've forgotten which brother, prayed this about the rest of God. And the Lord had given me as the last verse, Hebrews 4. Now remember, you're a slave for 6 years, and in the seventh, you give yourself over to be a bond slave. Different than a slave. You're a bond slave. And what? From that point on, in the seventh year, you've essentially given your life over. Right? Well, in Hebrews 4, therefore let us fear lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us. Good news preached to us. You got to hear the news, right? Just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. See, God can scream all he wants. The world I said the creation screams at the world on a daily basis. I'm here. You can't convince me that this world evolved from pond scum. I'm sorry. I refuse to believe it. God screams at the world, but guess what? They can't hear. Now, even when you hear, then you've got to take what God has given, and it has to be mixed with faith so that you can do something with it. For we who have believed enter the rest, just as he had said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day today, saying, though David, after so long a time, just as been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, this is a hard word. I'm going to tell you right now. If you hear the voice of the Lord and don't do it, I'd say it's probably worse than if you didn't hear it at all. Because if you know the voice of the Lord and you hear the word of the Lord and then don't do it or do opposite to it, you're in disobedience. I'd prefer that you just get saved and go do your own thing. But if you really want to know God, if you really want to be a disciple, and you really want to enter the rest of God, then open your ear. Your prayer tonight, today, should be, God, I really am. I'm ready. I want to hear your word. No matter how hard it's going to be, I'm going to do my best to do it from this day forward. You know, God, you know what the rest of God is? See, it's the seventh day. It's the Sabbath. It's the seventh year for the bondservant. You enter the rest of God. How do you rest? Guess what? It's a covenant. If you hear the word of God and do it, He has to take care of you. That's the rest. He's obligated. And trust me, you're not going to do anything that he can't take care of. Are you having problems today? God, take care of me. Now just talk to me and tell me what I'm to do. I'm going to get right with you so you can do right by me. The rest of God is knowing that in all things work together for who? For those who love him and are called according to your purpose, or his purpose. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What are his commandments? It's word, and it's listening for the still small voice that he's going to speak to you with. God will talk to you if you let him. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray today that your word settle in. Father, I pray that you open the ears of those who hear today. I pray, Father, that as your truth goes forth, as it enters into their hearts and their minds, that the truth of your word would just embed itself in their hearts. Lord, that it would be mixed with faith, and that these here would hear your word and do it. Lord, we love you, and we are called according to your purpose, and we want to be in obedience to you. So, Father, I pray that each one here, that you speak to each one here in that still small voice, and let each one here know how you want them to walk in accordance with your will today. Bless each one in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
All right, that was a great word. Thanks so much for coming. Why don't you go ahead and stand? We'll do a closing song. And if anybody needs prayer, there'll be some people up here at the end. You can come.